Shivasa B'Tamas. I have here a fantastic sefer, Mo'adim L'Simcha. I have it all marked up, which means we did this last year, or the year before. Mo'adim L'Simcha. This is set, so big set. Gewaldige stuff. Freund. Of Tuvia Freund. Gewaldige stuff. I wish we put out more volumes. I wish we would have more stuff. He has like probably 6-7 volumes. We always use this stuff. Okay, so I have over here it all underlined. A lot of things I don't remember. Some I do remember. But I try over here to give new try. It's no fun to say the same stuff again. So I try over here to embellish it with some new things that I've tried to look at and I've seen other places. So let's just go through the basics one thing at a time and try to bring up some ideas. I have a special idea in honor of Michal. It's a very controversial idea, and you'll tell me if it makes any sense. You'll be the one to decide if there's any truth, if there's any. It's not really a vart, but you'll tell me what you think about it. Okay, now you'll see what I mean in a moment. He's our in-house expert on the Dalid Malchios. He wrote the book, after all. There is no other book out there in the whole world about the Dalid Malchios other than your book. So, 60 essays, 60 themes in Dalid Malchios. Amazing. 60 themes in the Dalid Malchios. Gotta read his book. Gotta read his book. Maybe we should learn it. We should learn it together.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
All right. Number one. What happened on Shavuos B'Tamas? Okay. So we just did. Let's say. What happened? Rabbi said. What happened on Shavuos B'Tamas? Five things. We just learned the Aruch HaShulchan. Now let's review them with a little more intensity. Okay. Let's dig a little bit deeper. First thing was the Luchois were shattered. Okay, that we already mentioned, I'm not going to go into that. Chag Lashem Mochar, and as we said before, that really, the deeper message is not so much the shattering of the Luchois, it's the Egel. Chazal just didn't want to say it, because it's so painful. It should be painful. It should be painful, so when they say the Luchois were shattered, what?
It's not just understanding. You would never react that.
We would never, all right, whatever it means. But the Luchos were shattered because Klal Yisrael, they worshipped the Egel, as you said, they murdered tolerance, the silent majority. There's a society of tolerance, okay, tolerance. When you ever see a scandal, okay, the scandal that happened 2 weeks ago, it's still going on about people who were caught stealing from the government. It's not just them, it's all of us. We're tolerant. We're tolerant of this.
He was already making excuses for them.
We're tolerant. Who?
Aaron bringing the yeshiva.
Terrible.
Making excuses for them.
Making excuses?
Yes. What does that have to understand?
Understand?
Yeah.
And how did people react to that?
The worst part.
How did people react to that?
I don't know.
There's no outrage?
Who's going to be outraged? Lakewood?
Okay, let me ask you, let's talk about, I'll just give you an example.
Yeah.
Anyone over here go to a store, is there any person in this room that did not have this nesayim within the last 30 days? When you go into a store, someone comes to do work in your house and they say to you, how much does it cost? So they say to you, they tell you what it cost, and then you begin to give them a check or write, give them a credit card, and they say, wait a minute, the price I gave you is if you pay cash. If you pay by credit or check, I have to charge you tax.
Yes, because I take it to the bank.
So, I want cash. This is 100% usa.
The guy who did it to me on Avenue J,
yeah.
And I said, I want a receipt, he charged me more for cash than if I would have paid the tax.
Okay, that's another story. It is usa. Now, everybody's side, the vast majority of people that are criticizing what happened in the scandal, they're guilty of this. Don't tell me they're not. What? What?
What is 100% usa?
That example. To pay cash and not pay the tax.
Then who's not paying the tax?
What tax?
The sales tax.
There's a service. The sales tax, yes.
The sales tax.
There is a ribbon.
The sales tax obligation. Do I have the sales tax obligation?
Both of you have. Yeah. Both. Both. You? Yes.
Oh, it's a shine of ribbons. It's a shine of ribbons.
Both you, the customer,
sales tax.
You're legitimizing. You're legitimizing.
I'm looking to spend less.
Lift me either. If you can't afford to pay the tax, You should not be buying the product.
It was not the sales tax.
You should not. Don't legitimize. Let me explain to you how this works. Let me explain to you. You will legitimize this in a million ways. The goyim do this all the time. Who is obligated to pay the tax? It's not me. It's the vendor. Most of the vendors, by the way,
you're not talking about sales tax. You're talking about income tax too.
I'm talking now about sales tax. Rabbi Yisai, I'm talking here about sales tax. We're not talking over here. This is not the Vad Hatzala. We're this pidyon shvuyim for people that are dying in the Holocaust. We're going to go. We're going to undermine the government and do everything illegal. That's not what's going on over here. A guy comes over here. Okay, a guy comes over here. I went to a swarm store recently. Okay, and a swarm store, and the guy. And I wanted to pay part of it cash and part of it by credit card. So the guy said, oh, no, normally they're very good because they got caught already. so normally it's all, everything there is tax. There's no consent. But because I know the guy behind the counter, and because I gave him cash, I gave part cash, so right away, because he gave me cash, so what I'll do is, so you won't be paying sales tax. So you legitimize. It's academic. I'm not doing anything. That's his obligation. When everything is said and done, it's osur. Lifnei iver. Chil Hashem, and forget about the money, the few dollars you save yourself. What happens? It becomes instantly addictive. I save myself $8 today. Tomorrow I'm going to save myself $12. And one thing goes to the next, and then the worst thing is it creates tolerance. This is accepted. And once it's accepted by you, it's accepted by your friends, and accepted by everyone, and it creates in society tolerance, and it goes from one level to the next very, very quickly. And then one day you wake up, there's a colossal Chil Hashem with tens of thousands of comments with the most virulent anti-Semitism. How did this happen? You know what happened? It's because you did not pay sales tax on an item that cost $20 because you paid cash, and you have all of the best reasons why I don't have to pay the tax. All the lot of lumdis, all the lumdis is out the window. It's usser, usser, usser.
Well, without mentioning names, I bought my grandson's tefillin with cash and didn't pay sales tax at all. This is a big item.
That's why it's missing one part.
Listen, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know. When you're buying the parts of children, you're buying also, who you buying? You're buying from Americans, you're buying from Israelis. I don't know, maybe when you're buying the parashios, you're paying them directly in Eretz Yisrael, you're buying directly from people in Eretz Yisrael, maybe the rules are different. But if it's a vendor over here in New York City, it's a store, this is not acceptable. And these acts, don't go blame everyone, don't go blame these people. You know why they do it? Because we do it. We do it. The people who make a good parnasa, they do this, the parents do this all the time, and it creates among you raise your children, you can get away with it. And look, the goyim, they do a lot worse. These are not excuses. If you can't afford to pay the tax, and don't buy it. Don't buy. If you can't afford to pay a few more dollars, forget it. You shouldn't be buying the product altogether. It creates tolerance, and it creates an entire
desensitizes.
Excellent. The whole culture, and therefore, there's no one to blame but ourselves. You have to go look and point fingers at other people. Just look at yourself. Look at ourselves. And that's what it's all about. And that's exactly the Chetu Egel. The Chetu Egel was, you're right, it was the Erev Rav. Erev Rav with 3,000 people. You're dealing over here with 3 million people. What is 3,000? Exactly, in fact, what one of the deputies in Lakewood said. He basically said, one of the articles, you know, in Lakewood, we have over here a lot of goyim also. And the statistics are that the Jews who were caught, are even less than what we can do among the non-Jews. So what? How many people worship the eagle? 3,000 people out of 3 million people. And yet, For that reason, the Churban came. The Churban, why? Because everyone's guilty. There is tolerance. There is the silent majority. It's a very big thing to focus on. That's what Shabbos Matam is all about. It's don't be part of that silent majority. Fine. Let's go next. Bottle, yeah.
Question.
Yeah.
Large appliance, if I buy it from New Jersey.
If you're allowed to, you're allowed to. What do you want? The laws allow, if you're online, they're fighting for years already. Okay, if you buy online.
If I did anything wrong.
No, if you buy out of state, so if you're allowed to, you're allowed to. I'm not trying. Listen, if the law allows you, you have a lawyer, and the law says you can do it, you can do it. You know, so you might be, there's an old debate. There's an old debate about registering your car out of state. If you have a child that lives out of state, so why should I register my car in New York State when I can register my car in New Jersey or somewhere else? Or another, and they pay, the fees are much, much less. So is that so you have two? Is it legal? Is it ethical? Chilukadeus among the Goyim. Not talking about among us. So if it's mutter, it's mutter. I'm talking about things that are clearly usur. Then there are ethics. Ethics. A classic example of ethics. You go to a department store, you go to Saks, and you buy a suit, and you say to them, ship the suit to my brother in Lakewood. If you ship the suit to my brother in Lakewood, then there's no tax. No sales tax. There's no sales tax. So technically, I got away with it. I got away with it. Can they put me in jail for this? I don't know. Maybe they could. I don't know what. Read the fine print. L'chaira, you got away with it. L'chaira, is it ethical? Is it ethical? No, it's definitely not ethical to do. It's not ethical to do. Are you mechuyev to be ethical? Are you mechuyev to be ethical? Gotta ask your rabbi. L'chaira, yeah. But that you have not broken the law, at least that I know. Maybe you have. Maybe you have broken the law. I'm talking now about breaking the law. Okay, I'm talking now about clear-cut things. You go into a store and they say to you, if you'll pay cash, we'll give it to you less. So if they're telling you you're doing something illegal, and you're doing something, it's mamish illegal what you're doing. You want to talk about ethics? That's another topic of discussion. Next.
They're not doing illegal. They are.
What? Oh, you're legitimizing it, Lifnei Iver. You're legitimizing it. You're doing Lifnei Iver. You're a partner. You're a partner. You are a partner in the legal activity. There's no question. And especially if you're a Jew, then it's mamish Lifnei Iver. It's mamish Lifnei Iver, because they have no way they could make the money unless you participate. If it's a goyish store, okay, maybe it's one notch less because you're not in b'chuyv in Lifnei Iver. Are you still a partner in crime? Yeah. You're a partner in crime. You want to say legally, technically, they're mechuyev. I'm not even so sure that's correct. That technically, you have to ask a lawyer what the laws are. That they're the ones that are obligated to pay the tax.
The buyer is required to pay the sales tax. The seller collects it for the government. And the seller pays it over.
Yeah. Well, so then it's 100% illegal.
They're supposed to.
That's right. They are just collecting it and not charging it.
There's a sign. We have
the seller
must collect tax.
It's not our topic of discussion.
I told him once.
Let's go further, Rabbi said. Let's move further. Let's move further. Okay. The next thing which happened was Batal Atamid. The Atamid. Which Batal Atamid? Which is the bias? Rishon Abayis Sheni. So it says over here. It says over here that the Atamid was Batal. The Yerushalmi says. Now the Yerushalmi says that this event took place. It's not really clear. Was the Talmud bottle the Bayis Rishon, or was the Talmud bottle the Bayis Sheni? So this is based on the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says, "Omer Bishu ben Levi b'mei Malchus Yovan," which means this is the Bayis Sheni. And then the Gemara says, "Omer b'Amr b'Levi af b'mei Malchus Harisho Hazos Hayu Mishalshelin." Now, Malchus Harasho, which means Edom, which means the Romans. There was a Maisa where they would lower. Everyone knows that story. They would lower. They would every day they would bribe. They would lower the animals. They would lower. They would every day lower the animal. They would lower money, and they would give them in exchange. They would give them an animal, a sheep. And one day they lowered the money, and they gave them a pig. when the pig was raised, the pig put its claws into the wall of Yerushalayim, and there was an earthquake. That took place Bimei Malchus Horesha, which means in the Romans. Now, when the Gemara begins and says Bimei Malchus Yavon, does that mean Yavon? That L'chor means Bayis Sheni, because the Malchus Yavon also took place during the time of the. Yavon was the Chashmonaim. That's
so there was probably a temporary
halt. Now, okay, that's so the Pashtus were dealing over here by Yesheni. Others want to say, no, this took place during the time of the Bayis Rishon. Okay, we're going to come back to this in a moment. Okay, let's leave with that. Also, some want to say is that this event, the Bittul Tumah, is also happened exactly on the same day as the fifth thing that we said, is that Soraf Apostomos Esatoira. The fourth thing, I'm skipping over one thing, the fourth thing which happened was that Apostomos, who was a Greek king, he burned the Sefer Torah. On the day that he burned the Sefer Torah was also the same day when they stopped offering the Karbon Tamid. So those two things really go together. Those two things, we count them as two separate things. Okay, now, next thing was, they put it at Salem in the Hechel, so when was that? So Pashtus, that took place during the time we mentioned, but done by its Rishon, the time of Menashe. Okay, now the point that I want to make over here is we have four fast days. I'm jumping, but I'm a little confused. And I want to suggest that the four fast days really touch upon the Dalid Malchios. Now, what do I mean? The fourth fast. Let's work backwards. The fourth fast day is Tisha B'Av. What happened to Tisha B'Av? Well, the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni. Primarily, we mentioned before, the main thing that we mourn over, we'll discuss it soon, is the Bayis Sheni. And that was that's a fast day that corresponds to Golus Edoim, the last of the Dalid Malchios. Now let's go to Shivas B'Tamuz. Shivas B'Tamuz, we have five things that we mentioned. Okay, the Luchos, the Tamid, we just mentioned that. I want to suggest is that the primary thing that we focus on is the Greeks, because okay, the Luchos is not relevant because but the Luchos is something which is before the whole thing started. Okay, that's not part of the thing we're focusing on. And we want to talk about the breaching of the wall. So in Echnami, so the walls were breached in the Bayis Sheni, but that's not even so simple because Machlokes is the Bayis Sheni, is the Bayis Rishon. Okay, this that the walls were breached, Shavas V'Tamuz, we'll come back to maybe a little bit later, there are different opinions. Is it the Bayis Rishon, the Bayis Sheni? So really it's both. So let's put them out. But as far as Apostomus burning the Sefer Torah and the Bittul HaTamid, the Yerushalmi says explicitly, Bimei Melech Yavon. It was during the time of the king of Yavon, and some connect which king of Yavon? Apostomos, who burnt the Sefer Torah. So I want to suggest that being that we find an emphasis on two of the five things which happened, reflect what happened during the time of Yavon, the Tainus tomorrow is a Tainus to some degree that reminds us of Golus Yavon.
You could also suggest that Tzelem B'Hevel took place, maybe not the first time, but also took place.
Excellent. It relates.
And the
excellent.
The translation of the also Greek.
Okay, the translation. That's not. We don't fast. That's Sarbateves. That's Sarbateves. That's all the ninth day of the eighth day of Teves. That's the eighth day. Right. So you say over here is that when we talk about the miracle of Hanukkah, it says, what do they do? The Timukol Hashmonim, the Achar Kain, Bolid Virbisecha, Ufinu Es Hechalecha, the Tiharu Es Mikdoshecha. The emphasis was to clean out the garbage, to clean out all of the Tzlamim that were in the Beis Hamikdash. So the introduction of the Tzelem, it's not really clear when was the Tzelem put in. You know, it's not really clear when the Tzelem, which Tzelem? What are you talking about? Menashe? Everything is Mesorah.
Nothing that's there.
But it
indicates it only happened once.
But exactly. And once you're talking about the Tzelem, well, there's a whole holiday devoted to cleaning out the Tzlam. And there is no holiday referring to cleaning out the Tzelem of Menashe and Amoin. There's nothing to talk about. Chanukah is all about Ufinu Es Hechalecha V'ti Res Mikdashecha. So we focus on Shavuos V'Tamuz, three of the five heavily focus on things that relate to Yavon. Okay, now let's go to the fast of Asara B'Teves. Asara b'teves. I'm not sorry. Asara b'teves. What is Asara? That was the day when the siege began. And let me ask you, which siege? The Bayis Rishon, Bayis Sheni. Bayis Rishon, 100%. There is absolutely no record. This is a very big dilemma. Why don't we have a fast day for the siege of the Romans? Before they destroyed Yerushalayim, they also laid siege to the walls of Yerushalayim. We only have a fast day to commemorate when Nebuchadnezzar laid siege to the walls of Yerushalayim. There is no fast day to commemorate when the Romans laid siege to the walls of Yerushalayim. I mean, we commemorate when the walls were breached. That's Shavuos Matamos. The Romans breached the walls of Yerushalayim on the 17th day of Tammuz. They didn't breach the walls the day they arrived. They first arrived a long time before, and they set up a siege. The siege probably how long the siege went. Probably went on for a few years, the siege. The siege went on for a very long period of time. So just like we have Asar B'Teves, when Nebuchadnezzar laid siege, how come we don't have the equivalent? The same way the Gemara has to question the breaching of the walls. We have two fast days. The ninth day, they breached the walls on the ninth day for the Bayis Rishon, and they breached the walls on the seventh day for the Bayis Sheni. So we should have 2 days for the siege. The 10th day of Teves for the siege of the Bayis Sheni, and another day of the year to commemorate the siege of the Bayis Rishon, and another day to commemorate the siege of the Bayis Sheni. It's a pella. It's a wonder that the Gemara does not focus on this at all. The Gemara is obsessed with the breaching of the walls by Yisrish and by Yishini, but does not focus at all. That we'll maybe discuss a little bit later, that idea, why not? But one thing we take away from this is that the siege of Asar B'Teves was the Bayis Rishon. Who was the Bayis Rishon? Bavel. So that's already the third fast. So we already got an Edom, we got a Yavan, and we have a Bavel. Now here's the tricky part.
No, that's actually, the next one is actually the easiest.
Why is the easiest? Parasamodai. Som Gedalia. No, Tainus says doesn't count. Tainus says doesn't count. It's not a real fast day. Tainus is a minog. That's a modern fast day. It doesn't count. I'm talking about the four fast days. Som Gedalia. Som Gedalia took place in the aftermath of the Chormes HaMikdash. Okay, now here's, that's a little bit forced what I'm telling you, but I believe there's an element of truth. Is this set the stage for Paras HaModai? What was Paras HaModai's main agenda? They took out the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. There's not going to be a Beis HaMikdash anymore. Haman's 10 sons, they lobbied Achashverosh to halt the Koresh, the Binyan. Koresh gave a proclamation, you could rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. Haman had 10 sons living in Eretz Yisrael. They sent a message to Achashverosh. You got to put an end to this. You got to stop this. And this is very clear. Salvechik, I was reading from one of the things that he wrote up. It's very clear. The reason why Klal Yisrael had such a hard time is only because there was no settlement in Yerushalayim. The great tragedy of the assassination of Gedalia was the land was Hefker. We lost our possession. We lost our roots. Our claim. What happened? There was a Chorban. There was a Golus. There were survivors. Nebuchadnezzar says, you can stay here. You will remain present in the land. You will protect the land. You will work the land under my authority. Gedalia is the governor, and you, 300 people, you're going to stay here. You're going to be alive. There was a presence. No one can just walk in and say, oh, we're in control over here. The Jews never existed. We're in charge. When they assassinated Gedalia, everyone ran away. They were afraid for their lives. They all ran away to Mitzrayim against the advice of Yirmiyah. That opened up the land. The land is Hefker. Who moved in? The Shemroinim moved in. All these groups of people. There's a whole long list of groups who have salvation. It goes into detail. They all moved in. And now when it came 70 years later, you were fighting an uphill battle. It's our land. Koresh gave permission for us to build the Beis HaMikdash. People said, what do you mean he gave permission? Where have you been for 70 years? It's no longer your land. You're gone. You've lost your claim to the land. It's all over. So indeed, it's true that the assassination of Gedalia took place during the Tekufa of Golus Bavel. But this event was pivotal for the harm that occurred in the Golus of Paras HaModai. The Golus of Paras HaModai, their whole essence was the prevention of the rebuilding of the Bayis Sheni. That's what it was all about. The gold's parsa moda was not during the time of the Bayis Sheni. The Bayis Sheni was no gold. Gold's parsa moda was over. Parsa moda came to an end pretty much with the building of the Bayis Sheni. Parsa moda is the goal of parsa moda came to an end. We had our own autonomy to some degree. What was their whole essence, their whole goal? We're not letting you rebuild. But it's our land. It was only destroyed 70 years ago. Gedalia, assassination of Gedalia, and the fact that they all disappeared is what gave them the ability to prevent us from rebuilding. Made it much, much harder. So in essence, I want to say is that Tzom Gedalia really reflects a fast day that is keneged, corresponds to the golus of Paras Umadai. We have Dalit Tzomos and Dalit Malchus. Do you have this in your book? Four themes? In 1661, I don't know if it's correct what I'm saying, but yeah, this is the four fast days to correspond, suggest corresponds to the Dalit Tzomos. Now going back to the Beis Hamikdash, going back to Tzom Gedalia, and also the Chum Beis Hamikdash, it's interesting is that we're jumping back and forth between the Churban Bayis Rish and the Bayis Sheni. Why is that so? Chazal did it by design. They want to show is that the events that took place in Tzom Gedalia, it's not necessarily related to one Beis Hamikdash. The walls, or even for that matter, all the Dalit Tzomos and together have elements of Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni to show us that it's like the walls were breached by Bavel in the time of the Bayis Rishon. And the siege began in Bavel, by Melech Bavel, the Bayis Rishon, the siege began. And the walls were breached, how many years later? How many years later were the walls breached? 400 and... the Bayis Rishon, by 420 plus 70, so 490 years. The fact that we commemorate Shivasa B'Tamuz, which is the day when the walls were breached, and we commemorate Asara B'Teves, when the city was besieged, tells us the siege began 490 years before the walls were finally breached. Now that's ridiculous, because the two are the Bayis Rishon, Bayis Sheni. But Chazal, by specifically focusing on this point and that point, they're trying to show us it's all one big, big occurrence. It's all one big sequence of events. The Yeridus HaDoros, the Bayis Sheni was just an extension of the Bayis Rishon to a certain degree, and all of these events are intertwined. It spans all of the Dalai Malchus. It spans the beginning of the Churban Bayis Rishon to the end of the Bayis Sheni. It spans all of Golos. That's why these events, they're picking and they're taking from all different tekufos in our history to remind us that Golos is a Golos which goes on through all time, Dalai Malchus, until the coming of Mashiach. All right, Mitzvah Shem, we'll pick up more tomorrow. We'll stop over here.